for robot building supplies, helping you get the right products for the job at a better price.
On Deck Small Business Loans, approved in hours. Apply now on deck.com.au. You're with Jack Heverin on SEN.
It's been a very, very busy Wednesday afternoon here on SEN. Last hour, if you missed it, Sam Duncan from the Holmes Glen Institute in talking about sport in high definition. And then Brendan Joyce joined us to have a review of round one of the NBL season. And he was, like a lot of us, very impressed with LaMelo Ball.
I think when a player's unselfish, and I really mean this, he's unselfish, he has tremendous passing skills. I think it makes it a little bit easier because players love playing with players that are going to get him open to shoot the basketball. And he can blow by anybody off the dribble. But his passes is as good as I've ever seen, mate. It's Magic Johnson. You know, he's look away, you don't think he has the vision. And he just finds people. So I think that's going to get better. And the fact that he's so quick and he's long, he can get to the rim and score.
And then we were joined by Alex Pledger from Melbourne United, who spoke about United's real concerns from an injury point of view at the moment.
I guess our Achilles heel at the moment is giving teams second opportunities. And, you know, both of those things kind of reared their heads a little bit at various times throughout both games. And when you lose a game by one and you lose a game by three, you know, those couple of extra possessions that you give another team, you know, can, well, as it showed over the weekend, can really cost you.
We'll start this hour with another very special edition of Way Back Wednesday. It's got a nice trade and deal-making theme to it. And Tim Kelly will speak for the first time as a West Coast Eagle later on this hour as well. Sri Lanka 6 for 171 after 46 overs as well in the Women's One Day International. You are with Jack Heverin on SEN. Don't forget our Twitter poll as well, at SEN Afternoons. We started the show today by talking about David Warner and whether he should be a lock for the first test against Pakistan on November 21. 45% of you say yes, 55% of you say no. At SEN Afternoons to have your say. And just off the text as well, John from Canberra saying, it's a great opportunity in your basketball chat this week to also mention that the WNBL season starts this weekend. Big name imports in most teams this season. The WNBA All-Star Kia Nurse arrives from Australia and she arrives today. Yes, John, thank you. And stay listening a little later on in the week because I'll have Leilani Mitchell and also Mercedes Russell from the Southside Flyers, the new team in the WNBL. They will join me a little later on in the week. Just about the most memorable point in footy history, Tony Lockett at the SCG putting Sydney into the 1996 Grand Final. The reason that we have Plugger as part of our intro to our very special guest is because my guest was part of some of the biggest moves in footy. Tony Lockett going to the Sydney Swans, just one of them. Legendary football administrator Ron Joseph has been good enough to join us here on SEN for Way Back Wednesday. Ron, good afternoon and thanks for joining me.
Pleasure, Jack. Thank you.
Are you keeping an eye on this trade period or is it all a bit much?
No, I always look to see what North are up to, but they seem to be pretty quiet and just looking to the young ones. I don't see that they're mentioned all that much in the media and the lead up to the trade.
How would you go in this period, do you think, as a deal maker? Do you think you'd be able to get in there and make some stuff happen still?
It'd be hard. I'm probably a form four boy at heart. So when you could chase over Australia and just get him yourself. But, I'd probably find it difficult. I think there's errors and, the managers today seem to have an extraordinary influence on what's happening, and you know, they're talking to the kids once they're 15 or 16 years of age, and then they set up a relationship with them, and so, you know, the whole scenario's changed in a way where, you know, in my day you could just go out and sell your club and sell the people at your club, and which I suppose that was my era, and I enjoyed that, and yeah, I'm not all that wrapped in the way it happens today.
Ron, talk to us about Sydney, and we'll, I'll ask you about Plugger in a moment, but the reason I ask that is it's current at the moment. Joe Danaher wants to live in Sydney, wants to get away from footy. Can you kind of see that appeal? Can you see for a big-name player like him that he could live in Sydney and be a bit anonymous?
Well, look, I don't know the Danahers all that well. You know, I sort of had a bit of an association with Neil when he was at Melbourne. And, you know, he was highly regarded by the players that he coached there. It surprised me that Joe Danaher won. I thought that the Danahers were pretty locked into to Essendon. He's going to cost Sydney a lot of money, and he's going to need... they're going to want really good picks for him. You know, I mean, it's a hell of a risk for a bloke that's played so little football. But, you know, they said that about Plugger years ago, and, you know, the $10 million that went to...
Franklin.
So, you know, I suppose there's risks and you've got to run those risks. And I suppose we did it back in the 70s and the money was different, but it's all relative. You sort of take it to a new level. And if you really want the premiership, you'll do what you got to do to get it.
That's exactly what you'll do. Ron, we talk about Joe Danaher as being a big name key forward to go to Sydney. It started with Kappa and then it was Tony Lockett. Just... take us through what that process was like, because for a lot of people, they couldn't have never have imagined in their wildest dreams that Tony Lockett would play his footy anywhere other than St Kilda.
Yeah, well, at the time, you know, I think Plugger was probably, he'd had a gut full at St Kilda, and he was, you know, I mean, he was a fairly laid back in his decision making, but I mean, he just stood out to Sydney. Not because he was a full forward and he kicked goals, although obviously that was his skill. But he was a great player. I mean, you know, Plugger's one of the best players that ever played, and. You know, he's an outstanding mark, kick, strong. He was everything that Sydney wanted at the time. And he'd played in a game against Sydney up there where I think he kicked 11 or 13 goals or something and knocked Peter Cavan out. And St Kilda made a sensational comeback. Ron Barassi was coach.
Yep.
And, you know, we thought there was a victory in sight, and there weren't too many victories up there in those days. And, but anyway, I mean, I sat in the stand and watched this performance, and I was always wrapped in, even when I was at North, if, you know, St Kilda were playing at VFL Park and North didn't happen to be playing or whatever, well, you know, I'd often wander down to VFL Park just to watch him or to Moorabbin. I live close to the Moorabbin Down and I'd go down to Moorabbin and watch him. So I was wrapped in him as a player myself over all those years. And then really when after this sensational performance against the Swans in Sydney, I sort of made up my mind I was going to go down and have a talk to him. I found out that his manager was a guy called Robert Hessian, and he was a solicitor in Frankston. And so I went and saw him the next day, and, you know, whilst I knew it was going to be a tough job, I thought that the thing that I suppose got me started was I could sense that, well, he wasn't happy at St Kilda and there was a chance. And but the big players at that time were Collingwood and Richmond.
Yep.
And I can always remember saying to Plugger at the end, look, Collingwood and Richmond have pussyfooted around for the last 6 months and we've just been dead set after you. You know, we haven't sort of veered off the line at all. And so ultimately he sort of made the decision to come to us. I mean, he was a sensational footballer and he was a sensation in Sydney. But, I just emphasise, I thought he was a sensational footballer.
Yeah.
Not that he was a goal kicker and all the bullshit that went on with Sydney football and, you know, although I must admit, I suppose the fans did love the goal-kicking side of things, you know.
Ron, how is player management different now, just to go back on a point you were talking about earlier, than what it was when you were involved in it?
Well, I don't know whether it's any different at all. I mean, you know, you've really got to win the trust and the respect of the player and his family, and I suppose that's the start of it. There's a bit of obscenity about where you're going to talk to 16-year-old kids, and then they're influenced enormously by their coaches and that, VFL under 18 competition. So there's a whole lot of people that are going to have an influence on them before they get to an AFL club. But essentially, I think that it's a different sort of recruiting. You're sort of going out, looking at the player, recognising that he's going to be something special down the line, and then winning the trust and the respect. And I wouldn't have thought that that's changed all that much from my day, except it seems that the manager, and I suppose I did have an influence on it, but, you've got to let the player make up his own mind, and it's a very dangerous manager that's going to try and influence the player to go to a certain place. I mean, I was accused of it with Lee Colbert when he left Geelong as the captain and came to North, of course. I didn't influence Lee in the sense of choosing North Melbourne as his club. I mean, I thought that, you know, personally, he would have been, he should have thought more about staying at Geelong, where ultimately they did have success. But Lee, you know, was very, very determined to get out of Geelong, and probably because he was looking more to his life off out of football.
Yeah.
And he saw that happening down in Melbourne, not happening in Geelong. So you have an influence. There's no question you have an influence on the player, not just the manager, but also the coach and the manager of the junior football clubs that are there. And if anything, I think that the current system is a bit elitist and, you know, good young kids are not getting the opportunity that they should to put themselves up or be selected. I don't see where it's good that these under 18, where it's good for football that these under 18 clubs are letting 50 or 60 or 70 young kids of 16, 17, 18 years of age, telling them that they're not good enough when they're that age. You know, I think that how that's good for football, you know, it's got me buggered, you know.
Ron, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. I'd love to hear some of these stories about Plugger and Lee Colbert, and there's so many of them. So thank you for chatting with me today.
Thank you.
Ron Joseph joining us, legendary football administrator on SEM, with just a couple of the deals that he was involved in. Another edition of Way Back Wednesday. It is coming up next week. Sri Lanka, 8 for 188. There's an over to go. Chamari Adapadu has been dismissed for a century a short time ago. Tim Kelly has spoken, speaking of a short time ago, as a West Coast Eagles player. Craig Vozzo was there from the Eagles, Stephen Wells from the Cats as well. We'll share that with you after the break.